Morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. So thankful that you are here, and we're so thankful for our visitors who may be here. So thankful that you've come our way, and if you haven't had an opportunity yet, you can go pick up a bulletin and a sermon outline and take out your sermon outlines this morning. We will be continuing our thought process as we have been doing the previous four Sundays. This is the fifth lesson, and I believe there's going to be eight total, so just a few more to complete the sermon series on our spiritual wellness. How are we doing spiritually, and what are some things that we can improve on? How can we better ourselves on our journey to making heaven our home? And so this morning we're going to be talking about talking, speaking. And so a lot of times when we think about people who are talking and speaking, we're thinking about the people who are basically the big mouths like me, the ones who get up in front of everybody and just make sure you don't misspeak, make sure you don't say anything controversial, don't say anything provocative, and that as long as the preacher's doing it, and then kind of the leadership role, people are making a, or living a good example for everybody else, and everybody else is covered, right? No, these are all things that and aspects that we need to think about for everyone, for all of us, each other. Hold ourselves accountable. Hold ourselves to the good standard, the standard that is a godly standard, that is a righteous standard. Not that we are saved self-righteously in the sense that, but the sense that we rely and trust on God, and because of that, we show in our lives our faith. We live our faith. And so because of that, our lives will be transformed and that we will be doing better for ourselves. If you want to place your markers in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, we will kind of be bouncing back and forth between Matthew 12. You'll see on the outline. We're going to start here. Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37. In that, in the context, I know that's kind of the middle of the context, but maybe you'll see the premise as we draw the lesson to a close. So Jesus says here, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So we see two paths. There's not three, there's not four, there's not just one. Two paths. Your words are going to do one of two things. They are going to justify you in your faith, or in the faith that you might have, your words will condemn you. And so that's kind of scary. Because we don't want to portray God as if He's just this uncontrollable monster who can't just seize the moment, and that He always has to have someone always bowing down worshiping. When we portray God in that manner, we're speaking of God in an irreverent way. We're being irresponsible with how we are describing God in our faith and how He is portrayed as the nature of God. And that's something that we'll further talk about this evening as we continue our sermon series in the Minor Prophets in Joel chapter 2. So just wanted to throw a little plug in there. If you want to hear more about the nature of God, come this evening. So again, our words are important. Our words have meaning. It's not that we can just fly off the handle, say whatever it is that we want to say, and then all of a sudden we're good. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. So, accountability. Having that wherewithal, that amount of self-awareness in our lives where we are willing to hold ourselves to a higher standard. Not that we're looking down our noses at people, thinking that we're better than people, but recognizing the reality that even on our best day, We're doing the best we can do. We can't think about a specific sin that we've committed for today, but even on our best day, we still need the grace and mercy of God in our lives. Because if we don't have God's grace and mercy, there is no salvation, there is no pardon for sin, there is no reconciliation, because we are sinful people. We make mistakes. It happens. We talked about that in Bible class this morning. We are getting hit with temptation after temptation after temptation. And sometimes we typically focus more so on the major temptations of life. We typically don't think about the small, minor ones, because they don't really, those don't tend to wreck our faith, if you will. Those don't tend to rock the boat as much. And so we kind of place them off to the side. We put them on the back burner, on the, you know how the stovetops now, you've got like four different burners, or if you're really fancy, you've got five, but then you've got like a fifth or a sixth one that just says warming plate, where you can just kind of stick your plate on it to keep your food warm. That's typically what we do with those minor inconveniences in our faith. And so we throw them off, we chunk them off onto the warming plate, and we think, no harm, no foul. Nothing's going to get burned. Nothing bad's going to happen. But then we recognize and we realize, when we stop and we become intellectually honest with ourselves, and we read, I tell you that every careless word. And so that's also a determining factor here. Every careless word that people speak. So I don't want to portray this as if we need to be walking around on pins and needles and eggshells, thinking that, have I messed up already? That's not what I'm trying to portray to you. But every careless word, our careless actions when we go through life haphazardly, and we're not thinking about the moment, we're not realizing who we are, like whose presence we are in. And we just think, no harm, no foul. In every way, in everywhere that we turn, no harm, no foul. We're just going to continue through life, and God's just going to see me through to the end, no matter what I do. That type of careless living is completely unacceptable. It is completely unbiblical. It's not scriptural. It's not faithful at all. I know sometimes people don't necessarily like the idea of scriptural, biblical. So it's just not faithful. So let's just bring it down to the nitty-gritty. You're either faithful or you're unfaithful. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Justification, justified, condemnation, condemned. Those are our two choices. Because the grace of God has been laid out before us. It has been given to us. It is offered free for the taking anytime we want it. It's not limited to just a certain few people. It's not determined to just a few people. It's for everybody in this room. It's for everybody outside these doors. It's free for them to take. But know that by their words and by their actions, by their faith, they will either be justified or they will be condemned. So what kind of talking do we do in our lives? What kind of speaker are we? No, I'm not talking about public speaker. I mean, we could go through the instance where, remember when God first came to Moses, and Moses was just like, well, wait a minute, I'm not a good speaker. He said, don't worry, I'll take care of that for you. I'll give you Aaron. He's going to be your mouthpiece. He's going to help you out. You don't always have to get up in front of people and stand behind a podium or a pulpit or put a lapel mic on or whatever. You don't always have to do that. What kind of speaker? What comes out of our mouth? Let's look here at Exodus chapter 7. Just follow along in your outlines. Exodus chapter 7. Now, obviously, this is coming from the Ten Commandments, but I believe the principle still stands. So look at it. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. In general, just in principle, basic idea, there's three ways that we can commonly disobey this principle and this premise. One is profanity. Using the Lord's, using the name of God in blaspheming and just being irreverent and just talking filthy. And like I said, we'll see that more as we continue our study. It's through frivolous type of communication where we just kind of, again, we're being superficial in our speech, in our communication with one another. And I think this third one kind of goes along with this one, in hypocrisy. And I think that's the one that I want to focus on more so this morning, being hypocritical, in that we claim the name of God, we claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, yet we don't live like He is our Lord and Savior. You see, everybody wants a Savior, but they don't want a Lord, right? When we think about Lord, we think about the passage where I believe it's over in 1 Peter chapter 5. I'd have to turn and look. Not trying to get into the elders aspect, but you know, when it talks about not lording it over the flock. Well, here's something. Here's a reality. Jesus is the Lord. He is the Son of God. He has all power. He has all authority. He is the Lord of our lives. And if we put Him on in baptism, right, in the watery grave of baptism, we come into contact with His blood and have our sins washed away. He's not only a Savior, He is our Lord. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Luke 6:46. And so that's how some people live their lives. They live their lives in this hypocrite, where they're being hypocrites, where they go out and they cry out, Lord, I believe. Yes, Jesus is my Savior. I've invited Him into my heart. He's my personal Savior. But then when we look at how they are living, each and every day, through their speech, through their communication, they speak frivolously, they speak with profanity, they speak in hypocrisy, and it's like, you are taking the name of the Lord in vain each and every day of your lives by the way you are living. That goes back to Matthew 12, verse 37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Through 11 here. Philippians 2. For this reason also God highly exalted Him, talking about Christ, highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name. And this is why the Jews, I'm sorry to say this, why I'm not sorry, I need to clarify that. But when people argue, well, the Jews serve the same God we serve. No, they do not. They do not. When they continuously reject Jesus as the Messiah, when they reject Jesus as the Son of God, they are not serving God the Father. God the Father testified of Jesus. He's the one who accounts for Him. He's proof that Jesus is who He is. We read that in John chapter 5, verse 31 through the end of the chapter. We talked about that this morning in Bible class. For this reason also, God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name. The Jews do not esteem Jesus. If there are practicing Jews today, they do not esteem Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God, as their Lord and as their Savior. They just say that He's just a good teacher, that He was a prophet. Some of them don't even believe He existed. And yet we're going to dare claim that they believe the same God we do? Baloney. Baloney. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. But by the time this confession is made, it will be everlasting too late. do we speak in vain? Not just through the verbiage and words of communication, but actions speak louder than words. And so when we think about the reality of how we speak, what kind of talker we are, I'm not thinking from the perspective of only verbally communicating things. How do we react? How do we act? What's our overall disposition in life? This is far more than just what we're communicating with our mouths. Yes, that's absolutely important. I'm not diminishing that value and that fact. But actions, we teach our kids this when they're little all the way till they're 18, and some of people, you know, sometimes we have to go past 18. I don't have an 18-year-old yet, but I'm pretty sure when I do, Lord willing, I'll end up telling him at some point in his adult life, your actions speak louder than your words. I don't want to hear your words. I want to see what you are made of. I want to see your faith. Prove it. Prove that what you are saying is true. What kind of talker are you? Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So here, I want us to think about deceitful, evil speaking, talk, actions. Are these the type of things that's being prevalent in our lives? He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. This all goes back to verse 37 of Matthew 12. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So if we have this deceitful mindset and attitude where we can just go through life and be deceiving and portray ourselves as evil, and sometimes people are really good at it. They are really good actors. They portray themselves as good, homely Christian men and or women, it doesn't matter who. We'll just say person A, we'll just say he's a man. Shows up to church every Sunday, always got the suit on, looking good. He gets up, he helps lead singing, he helps do the Lord's Supper, he cleans the bill, he does all this stuff. He checks on the widows. What good does it do if inwardly he's just full of dead men's bones? What good is all of that action if he doesn't love God? If he doesn't love his neighbor as himself? None of that's any good. So think about this. For the one who desires life, this is those who desires to be with God for all eternity. So that includes the here and now. We can't expect to be with God for eternity if we won't be with Him now. I can't tell you how often I've been in conversation with folks who they say, oh, I'm going to put it off. I know the Bible says he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but I'm going to wait. And so much of this has to do with the different kind of teaching where you've got different groups who teach, well, you know, we don't baptize immediately. We wait. We put it off. We put people through baptism classes and this, that, and the other. And while I can appreciate, putting people through classes, but we're talking about their souls. When Philip went to the Ethiopian eunuch, he asked, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless someone teaches me? And so he taught the gospel. He preached Jesus to him then and there. And throughout that sermon, throughout that teaching, somehow in some way, he spoke of water baptism. And he told them that that is for the remission of sins. Because when he saw water, he said, wait a minute, here's water. What hinders me? He didn't have the full story. He didn't have everything laid out before him, all the different doctrinal positions, this, that, and the other. He had the basic understanding. And he says, what is going to help wash away my sins? He didn't verb it that way, but that is what's proved. That's implicated. How can I have my sins washed away? What prevents me? What hinders me from being baptized? It wasn't some three-week, month-long course. Philip didn't say, oh, well, we need to wait till next month. We need to put it on our calendar. He didn't do that. He commanded the chariot to stand still, to stop, and they both went down into the water, and he baptized him. They both went down into the water. He came up out of the water, and he went on his way rejoicing. This is not hard. So the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. These things cannot be present in our lives. I'm not saying that you're not going to fault every now and then, that you're not going to have a mistake. But when you do, you recognize it. Or when it's brought to your attention, you then recognize, oh, I made a mistake. I need to ask God for forgiveness. Let's go over to James chapter 1. James 1, 19 through 21, and then verse 26. Let's look here. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Vulnerable moment here. This is the one I struggle with. This is one I struggle with. And I know maybe some of you might be partial to another instant. But this is the one I struggle with. And maybe it's just come with how I've transitioned into my life, how I've grown in my faith. And so I always seem to want to have the right answer at all times. And so sometimes I'm not listening as good as I should or as well as I should, and I'm listening to give a response instead of listening to have understanding. And those are two totally different things. And when we listen to understand, this is not giving a false teacher or someone who has a false premise the victory in the discussion, but it's understanding where they're coming from so I can better communicate to them maybe why they are wrong or why their presupposition is wrong. We talked about that in Bible class this morning. Everyone must be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. We're talking about salvation here. The bridling of our tongue. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. It's vain. It's useless. It's not able to save his soul because it's not godly. He's not being made righteous by God. He's trying to sustain himself in his self-righteousness. And so if we're trying to self-sustain ourselves in our self-righteousness, we're going down the wrong road. So we need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. We need to hear to understand instead of hearing to respond. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 and verse 32, and then we'll go to chapter 5. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. This is the kind of talk the kind of speech, the kind of action that we need to have in our lives. A word that is good for edification, for the need of the moment, that will give grace. We need to be graceful in our speech. That goes back to just, again, the principle back in James 1. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. See, that's not... If we're quick to action, quick to speak because we're listening to respond, that's not giving grace. That's just offering up self-righteousness. Listen to me because I am right. You see? But so that it will give grace to those who hear. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. And we fail in this department more often than we would probably care to admit. And so how do we rectify this? It's that we become more aware of our failures. We become more aware. And it's not that we continue to sustain those failures and that we just continue to make the same mistake over and over and over again. You see, doing something once, right, I think we would qualify that as being a mistake. But if you make that same choice multiple times over and over and over and over again, that's a decision. That's a choice. That's when it becomes extremely problematic. Let's look at Ephesians 5, 1 through 4. Therefore, be imitators of God. And so that is like the ultimate duh of the lesson. We're trying to imitate God. That's what we're trying to do. As beloved children, walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So that immorality, that impurity, those things can't be of us. We need to be speaking and talking with thankfulness from ourselves. Thankfulness to God. But when we have all that other kind of communication that's full of immorality and impurity, we're not justified by our words. We'll either be what? Justified or condemned. Flip over to the back of your outline. We're going to try to run through these real quick. Bring the lesson to a close. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace. Always. It's not optional. It's not up for debate. It's not a, well, yeah, but what if so-and-so, what if they say something that hurts my feelings? Can't I just lay into them just this one time? You know I'll do better next time, right? God, time out. I can't be a Christian right now. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. That goes back to that active listening to the, are we listening to respond or listening to understand? Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. Now I want us to stop right there and think about that. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. How can you appear as lights in the world if you are behaving just like them? If you are acting crooked and perverse just like this crooked and perverse generation, how can you be a light to them? How can you be that guiding light to show them the path through the gospel? You can't do it. That's illogical. It's not probable. It's impossible. We can't do it. Holding fast the word of life. If we're acting perverse and crooked, we're not holding fast the word of life. So that in the day of Christ, I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But you see, if we're living in darkness and rather than in the light, for God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. But what's the problem? People are walking around in darkness. They're saying, hey, there's no problem. I'm with God. I have fellowship with God, even though I'm continuing to live in darkness and practice the deeds of the darkness. So now let's go back to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Let's look here at verse 33 through 35. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. That is the reality. That is where actions prove where we are. Actions speak louder than words. The things that we say actually matter. Every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account. Treasure what is good and the evil. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. This is the same principle of Matthew 7, verse 15 through 19. A good tree is going to bear good fruit. A bad tree cannot produce good fruit. That's the reality. But our crooked generation, and this is not new. I'm not trying to submit to you that this is somehow a new thing. This was a problem in the first century. This was a problem before the first century, by the way. People have perverted God. They've perverted His morality. They have perverted His laws and His statutes and His commandments, His precepts. They would prefer to do what they want to do. The evil says that, oh, well, honey's bitter. And that bitter is sweet. They've reversed the roles of everything. And we do that through how we live. Let's look at Proverbs 13:3 and Proverbs 21:23 and then Psalm 19:14. Let's look at all this. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. And so what do we need to do? The point is that we need to guard our mouths. Obviously, we need to guard our hearts, right? I think that would be first and foremost. But as we're talking about how do we talk, how well do we talk, we need to guard our mouths. Because if we're living carelessly, we're not going to hear, well done, good, faithful servant. Now, I do think we need to be carefree from the respect of, you know, we're no longer in bondage to sin. We're no longer enslaved to sin. God has given us victory over the grave through Jesus Christ. We should be carefree about that, I agree, but not carelessly. Those are two different things. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. This is not to say that you're never going to have a slip up. And that all of a sudden you have a slip up and then you just, there's no coming back. Nobody's saying that. But these are some things to think of as we're trying to grow in our faith and become better Christians, become stronger Christians, to become more faithful in our lives. So that we can be the light of the world, among whom you appear as lights in the world. We can't do that if we're behaving just like everyone else. Finally, let's look at this last one. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. How well do you talk? Do you reach out to God and cry out to God in all aspects of your life, in every respect, and you realize that without Him you are nothing, and that He is your Lord, He is your rock, He is your Redeemer? And so because of that, everything that you try to do in your lives, not only through your words, but through your actions, you are trying to glorify God the Father. Jesus said, "My meat, my desire is to do the will of Him who sent me." John 4:34. I submit to you that should be our goal, is to do the will of Him who sent Jesus into this world. And if we want to call Jesus Lord, then we need to believe and trust in Him and obey Him. We can't separate those three. There's no separating. We don't say believe and trust and then obedience comes after the fact. No, it all comes together in one. But here's something else to think about. I put a little, hopefully some of y'all recognize that. Those are lyrics, partial lyrics. I didn't do the whole song. From a VBS song that, you know, we typically teach kids in the young Bible class. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And it goes, "For the Father up above is looking down. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say." Now, I want you to think about our society and think about how things has transitioned and how things are going. Now, I'm not saying that it's any worse now than it was before. I mean, again, there's nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes 1:9. That is fact. However, this does not alleviate or remove the true fact that we have more options to put in garbage in our lives. And the more garbage we put in, what's going to happen? Garbage in, garbage is going to come out. Now, I think about, and I know I'm kind of in that weird generation, but, you know, I'm not of the generation when TVs first came out. But some of you probably remember when TVs first came out, there was a lot of backlash behind, you know, "Oh, that's the devil's workshop, don't be watching TV." There was a lot of wisdom in that. I don't poo-poo those brethren and those in that older generation for saying, "Hey, you know, we need to be careful what we're listening to." They did the same thing with the radio and radio programs. But I remember just some of the things that I watched. Now, obviously, as an adult, I am very much aware of some of the things that I was taking in. But then I see and recognize what the kids are watching today. And it is complete garbage. And we wonder why our kids are turning out to be the way they are. It's because we plop them in front of a TV and we let them watch that garbage. That garbage goes in them instead of biblical principles and godly standards. That garbage of the world's going in them and they're just learning to love it all. Just be accepting of all things. Garbage in, garbage out. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little heart, whom you trust. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. These things matter. How well do you talk? Are you fighting the good fight of faith? Are you staying the course? Are you keeping the faith? Are you even in the faith? Because if you're here this morning and you're not even in the faith, well, let me tell you, the baptistry's ready. We are ready and willing to hear you out. If you're willing to make the good confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repent of your sins and be buried with Him in baptism to have your sins washed away, we are here to help you. The rest will settle itself out. We can talk about all the doctrinal stuff after the fact. But we want you to be right. We want you to be on your road, on the road to heaven. Because there's one road, that's through Jesus. And only through Jesus. Let Him have His way with thee. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel, but you recognize your spiritual checkup today has brought about a mini test that came back problematic. No, you don't need chemo. You don't need blood pressure medicine this morning. You don't need more cholesterol medicine. You don't need to be taken off. What you need is prayer. If there's something that we can do for you this morning, if we can pray for you or help you in obeying the gospel, please come together as we stand and sing the invitation song.